we have for a very good subject, agape, agape. We'll work on this one this week. It's a good subject, but it's one that's very, very well misunderstood and misrepresented. Agape means that's Greek. That's the reason this class should be a fifth year course, because you need at least 3 years of Greek. I mean, I can't teach the class like it's supposed to be taught. That's the reason those tests come so hard on you. Don't have a way to present them unless you got about 3 years of Greek, a year or two of Hebrew. Then you could, I could teach it like it's supposed to be taught. But that's where it's listed as a fifth-year course. Of course, anybody wants to take it, we'll try it. But that's that. I don't have any objections to that. But that word there is the strongest form of love you'll find in your Bible. The strongest form of love. It actually means the love. The love. The Greek word phileo, or what do they usually call it? There are different Greek pronunciations. But what is this called in this school? Agape? Agape? Agape. Some school called it agape. I don't know if they do either. Now, Tim Sullivan called it agape, said that's a proper pronunciation, but I didn't know whether they got it here in Greek class or not.
You learn two different ways here. The first 2 years, you learn one way, and the second.
Well, it all depends on the instructor, huh? Yeah. Well, I know different schools pronounce things differently, too. You know, that, of course, that's the cause of the instructor, I'm sure. All right. Phileo is another word. But for love, phileo is love, but it means with a fondness for mankind. With a fondness for mankind. Phileo means with a fondness for mankind. Okay? Did I do something bad?
No,
yeah. Alright. Phileo is fondness for mankind. When you're studying, you must learn which word is being used before you can properly identify the scriptures in which it's placed. You just have to have that down. So don't hesitate to take time out and get your Greek text and look and see. Because you can preach fallacyism before you can say Cock Robinson. Jack Robinson? Yeah, Jack Robinson. That's a better word. All right. He can preach fallacy because you don't know which love is being taught. So many words that are interpreted, translated as love, is pitiful, but these are the two that you need to really, because they are with the doctrine, they're right in the teachings, right, all the way through, and these are the two you need to keep distinguished, all right? To be fond of is phileo, from the standpoint of feeling as distinct from principle. Feeling as distinct from principle. That's phileo. This is in the introduction now of this subject. Now, it is never used of man's love to God. Phileo is never used of man's love to God. You saw what trouble Peter got into, don't you? Don't you remember what trouble he got into? And the Lord said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Oh, Peter could only answer, "Lord, I phileo you." That's all he could say. Mind the Lord said, "Do you phileo me?" And he said, "I knowest all things, Lord." He finally got it. You know how I love you, just with a fondness for mankind, that's all. But boy, before he died, after the day of Pentecost, from that day forward, Peter began to understand what the Lord was asking back there on the seashore.
Amen.
He began to understand what it meant. I'd not have paid a life that for it now. And he did. And he did. But right on. He locked it. I don't have anything I can do but preach Jesus Christ. A man will serve God rather than man. Obey God rather than man. He knew what agapeo meant then. But at the time, phileo was all he had. The Greek word agapeo means love, the love of esteem. The love of esteem. Now this is what is distinguished. It distinguishes the believer feeling toward God through Jesus Christ. And thus Christians, and I say that rather reservedly, Christians, I mean of the faith, the one faith, all right, Christians' distinctive element of the fully developed faith in God. There's where this agape comes in. Agape, all right. It always is always to regard with favor to make much of a thing, a person, or principle. Makes much of it. And needs to be understood in order to study the scriptures and get the full value of both phileo and agapeo are used of God to man, as in John 11. 3:36, phileo for Lazarus. But in John 11:5, agapeo for the sisters. For the sisters of Lazarus. Agapeo for the sisters. Phileo for Lazarus. And he loved Lazarus enough to weep for him, didn't he? Phileoed him enough. Phileoed him. That sounds bad, and that means without bone. But okay.
Without bone.
But he loved him enough to weep for him. But to the sisters, so I am the resurrection and the life. To them he made another statement. To them he made another statement. Now, several points be brought out concerning God's agapeo, love, and its attributes. Roman numeral 1. Roman numeral 1. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Look what you can have without love. That is nothing. Look at the attributes you can have that are Christians all over the world. Christians, they call themselves, have. But without agapeo, you have nothing. Why? Without agapeo, you don't have God. Because God is love. God is love, and without agapeo, you don't have the God love. You just have an animal affection or attraction. I saw going up to Hubbard, Texas one Sunday to preach in the absence of Brother Sneed. I was pastoring at Mount Bethel. And so he called from Texas. I said, I just can't make it over. Can you go and preach for me? I said, yes, sir. So I called out of Mount Bethel and told him I was sending somebody else out there to preach for me. And I went up to Hubbard. All the way up that Sunday morning, looked out across the pasture there, and there's a big white-faced Hereford bull licking the back of an old white-faced Hereford cow, and no, licking the back of the calf of the old white-faced Hereford cow, and the calf was sucking the old cow, see. And I said, there's where the politicians get it, daughter. They looked at the cow. Cow, hold the baby, kiss the baby, and you know, and the mother's attracted to this, you know. Okay? We learn a lot from the dumb brutes, don't we? About all of our habits are. Except one thing. And that is they wait for their mates to get in heat before they bother them. And we make them get in heat. So we're lower than the dumb brute, aren't we? We're lower. We go beyond. We don't have an animal instinct, so we leave integrity hanging out to dry and go beyond the animal instinct. Lower down. So low that a father can even rape his own baby daughter. That's how low this skunk called man can go. For he has no animal instinct. He has to depend on love. And without it, you don't have anything. Two people stand and say they love one another. They want to be married. Are you Christian? Are you saved? No. You love them? Yeah. What do you have? Well, don't have agapeo. Now, the husband in the fifth chapter of Ephesians is commanded with a strong exhortation to love his wife, agapeo, his wife. And only one time in the whole New Testament, where the second chapter of Titus, the older women teach young women that they may love their husband. That's phileo. Only one time is a woman associated to the husband under that word love in the whole Bible, and it's phileo. The woman is not made nor designed of God to agapeo a husband. She is not designed to do such. She's handicapped there. Hers is a harder servitude than is man's, because man is equipped to love her unto death, you know, spontaneously, without reason. Love her, you know, will. But she is not designed. That's the reason she makes a good mother. She can mother a bum that comes in off the street, hobbling in, half-starved, cold, sick. She takes him in, boy, and her heart just melts for him. She can be a mother. She can make an excellent nurse because she just has a feeling for him. Fondness for mankind. She's designed by Almighty God to be this way. Now, the ungodly buzzards that publish books on how the women ought to love their husband, and she died without it. Oh, she, and this poor housewife had to put up with that old husband of hers. And I'm supposed to love him like this novel says. I don't. So she goes to a psychiatrist. What's wrong with me? So he gets I saw a little rhyme the other day. He said, an analyst is not a joke. He finds you cracked and leave you broke. That's the way it should happen. They go to him, he gets himself analyzed, you see. All right? I like that.
An analyst is not a joke.
He finds your crap and leave you broke. Well, I said way back young when an analyst was just heard of first. Yeah, it was old literature somewhere back there. Even the pages were brown. And so, all right, she goes, she takes tranquilizers, she takes pep pills, she does anything, trying to make her love her husband like this book says you're supposed to, like the marriage counselor says you're supposed to love, you know. Without regular loving, that the hell, Lord, there's something wrong with you. You don't love it. Well, she's made of Almighty God to phileo him, love him with a fondness for mankind. That's the reason they can have a multiplicity of wives without that much trouble. With the women, they didn't have much trouble. They had a fondness for mankind. Shoot, man, the less he dealt with them, better off they were. And get more wives, they didn't have food as much. You know? So that's all right with them. You read stories about it. They didn't care. They even dread when the wife, husband was sent for it. She wanted somebody to have sex with. You'd pull a servant in out of the yard to keep her the flowers and have sex with them. Nothing to that. 100 servants to have a wife anyhow. They could have plenty of them. Either that or a horse or a Shetland pony or a jackass or something. They had this story written all over about them. They had plenty of sex. But that's didn't have to put up with a husband, you see. Have to put up with a husband. Now, in our church work, we have men who love God, and we have men, mankind, maybe women, might be children, men, doesn't matter. We have mankind that phileo God. And this is where we have to make the basis of our presentation of the Word of God. We have, you know, you can't leave one condition out. You're trying to convert all to the agapeo, you know, to the love of God. That's what the whole purpose of the work is, to love Him, stay with Him. So you have all these attributes in 1 Corinthians 4 and 7. Love is number A under Roman number 1. The only way love can or ought to be defined is by listening to its attributes. The only way love can be and ought to be, I gave you Roman number as a definition, didn't I? Roman number 1 is definition. Did I not? I'm sorry. Well, that's a definition. The scriptural definition of love is Roman number 1 and 1 Corinthians 13. All right. That's the scriptural definition of love. That's what I'm writing. Love, then, and paraphrasing 1 Corinthians 13, 4, and 7, would you listen only to the attributes of love, that's number A under Roman number 1. All right. Paraphrasing this, 1 Corinthians 4 and 7, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not to be arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but at right. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Now, if you look at the attributes of the man, just start bawling, all right? Well, there's people get right on the verge of laughter or crying, and a temperament is right next door to it. That's real close. And they aren't able to control it, but they're out of control, just like that. So they need something. That's what a moderator is for, to keep things under control and try to help them. All right? Now, this is not, that's not an attribute of love, is it? Not an attribute at all. Preachers saying, you're not going to make me do this. You're not going to ask me to do this. No church that I'm pastor is going to make me do this. Is that an attribute of the love? But why? Self-satisfaction. Self-satisfaction. That's all that is. So, B under Roman number one, love is fellowship between persons. Love is fellowship between persons. It is an act of self-surrender. Born pride just flat won't let you surrender yourself with pride. But you better reserve some for yourself here, boy. You don't want them to take advantage of you. You know, you go this route, they'll allow them to take advantage of you. Well, what of it? I hadn't made $1 million not having advantage. See, Thomas, they won't gain anything but what I've had, and that's nothing. They sure won't be any better off, so what of it? Let them take advantage. They haven't got anything. Laughs on them, you know. Roman number two. God is love in his very essence. God is love in his very essence. 1 John 4, 8 and verse 16. 1 John 4, 8 and 16. I have the Amplified Version as number A under this of the scripture just mentioned. And it reads, he who does not love has not become acquainted with God. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God. That's what the King James Version says, but it hasn't deviated from the King James Version. Does not and never did know him, for God is love. He does not and never did know him, for God is love. And it goes ahead, and we know. And we know, that is, we understand, we recognize, we're conscious of, by observation and by experience. And we believe, that is, we adhere to, we put faith in and rely on the love God cherishes for us. And God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God. And God dwells and continues in him. That's pretty close association. Pretty close association. B, the eternal self-generating nature of God equates itself in mutual self-surrender, equates itself in mutual self-surrender between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I repeat, the eternal self-generating nature of God equates itself in mutual self-surrender between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. For instance, when Christ...
Could you go over that one more time?
The eternal self-generating nature of God. Self-generating, put a hyphen between those two words, connect them together. Equates itself in mutual self-surrender between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And this will be the breakdown on that. Number one, when Christ came to the earth, he incarnated perfect love. When Christ came to the earth, he incarnated perfect love. Little A under one there. He bore the very stamp of the divine nature. He bore the very stamp of divine nature. When he came to the earth, he incarnated perfect love. He bore the very stem of divine nature be under one. Those who saw him saw the Father. You have plenty of scriptures on these. All right. Number two under B. Back over a little bit. Number two under B. And remember, B is the eternal self-generating nature. God equates itself in mutual self-surrender between the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. One was when Christ came to earth, he incarnated perfect love. And B, or number two, rather, is Christ, even Christ's enemy, all of them, his enemies, could find no fault in him. All they ever was able to do was muster up a false accusation.
Roman numeral three.
Salvation was conceived by the love of God. Salvation was conceived by the love of God. John 3:16. All right. A, under this, salvation was planned, executed, and applied by God's love. Salvation was planned, executed, and applied by God's love. How many of these hyper evangelists will lay credence to such statements? They tell you forever how many they led to the Lord. They preached at a certain place, and so many souls were saved. So many walked the aisle for Jesus. How many know where salvation really lies? One under A there, the Father planned salvation. Comma. Put a semicolon there. The Father planned salvation. Put a semicolon there. The Son executed it. Put another semicolon. And the Holy Spirit applies it. The Holy Spirit applies it. You can get plenty of preachments off of this. You can just go to work on it. That old boy said, the arousement's coming along about this time. You can get you roused up, will you, dander, if you're just flying up there by that time. It was with me. It's good. There, number B, under Roman numeral 3, there is such perfect unity in the Godhead that some acts of redemption attributed to either a specific person or to the Godhead essentially. Repeat, there is such perfect unity in the Godhead that some acts of redemption attributed to either a specific person or to the Godhead essentially. There is such perfect unity in the Godhead that some acts of redemption attributed to either a specific person or to the Godhead essentially. Number one under B, the resurrection of Christ is an example of this. Between God and man, love is a true point of contact between God and man.
I'm missing one word. Is it a true point, or love is a what point?
T-R-U-E.
Yeah.
True point of contact between God and man. A, man is made in the image of God. You have scriptures for this. And the image of God is the capacity of self-surrender. That's Hairlip, Georgia. All right. And the image of God is the capacity of self-surrender. You see why, how he could love the world and gave his all to God? That's the image of God, see. Was it, I'm born of Jesus, through Jesus Christ, I'm born again. I'm the image of God. You are? Why don't you sell your house and land, give it to the Lord? Then?
Yeah.
Am I right asking this? I didn't ask. Okay. B, under four, the more kind and loving man is, the more kind and loving man is, the more like God he is. Genesis 1:26, the word image is found there. The more loving and kind man is, the more like God he is. The more the attributes of God, the more like God he is. How can you have the attributes without love, without contact, with God? I will have contact without truth. So I'm the way, Jesus said, 14 and 6 of John, the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Holy Spirit comes to lead you in all truth. John 16:13. All right. Now under B, number one, a good man prefers others before himself. A good man prefers others before himself. The opposite, of course, is selfish. The other kind of man is selfish. Worries the folks there at Anaheim, because when we have a feed, always step in last. I mean, just push them all through and be left. Yeah, but all the good things will be gone you get through that. Yeah, they enjoy it too. They're enjoying them. I can eat any kind of slop. You look at a hog and tell he can eat anything. I have to have the fine things. I get plenty of bread and nothing else. Only some of that left. Head of lettuce, you know, carrot or two, a few radishes. All right. Roman numeral 5. Well, you've got plenty of scripture where you should prefer others before yourself. Okay. Love nullifies law by overcoming law. Love nullifies law by overcoming law. A, under Roman numeral 5, love contains its own sense of obligation. Love contains its own sense of obligation. One under that, if a mother hears the cries of her children, she rushes to their side without the promptings of legal duty. She does not have to be aspired by legal duty to go to the cry of her child. She will just go, you know. So will the husband, I mean the daddy. All right, but mother, that's more package. See, you get to the harshness there with mother. All right. That's being hypocritical, isn't it? All right. A under one there. Love needs no law. Love needs no law. Nothing should be mandatory. It is mandatory about love. That's the thing that starts as an antecedent to that of mandate. We love him, John said, because he first loved us. So there's where the love comes in first, you see. All right? B, under Roman numeral 5, big B. Therefore, when Christians are commanded to love, the condemned, or the command, is as much a judgment against unlovableness as it is a prescription to be lovely. Let's look at it again. Therefore, when Christians are commanded to love, the command is as much a judgment against unloveliness as it is a prescription to be lovely. In other words, when we're commanded to love one another, to love God, we're commanded. It's judgment against not loving as well as against as aspiring us to love one another. It's a prescription to love. In other words, when we're connected with the word love, that means we can do it. You know, we've got a legal right to do it. We can. We're qualified. We're equipped. We're made. We're designed so that we can love. That's a compliment within itself, isn't it? God didn't tell us to do anything we weren't able to do, see. And so that means we have the quality, the characteristics, the assets, everything necessary for doing something when he tells us to do something. So the love precedes the command, you see. And lets us be free in it. Roman number 6. The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord God. Mark 12:29-30. The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord God. No, sir, I don't have him this year.
What was the scripture, Mark 12:29?
29:30.
Mark 12:29-30.
Yes, sir.
Could you read that again?
The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord God. Okay? Mark 12:29-30. Paraphrasing this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. What else he got? You say with all, period. All you got, all you are, love the Lord God. Okay? A, under Roman numeral 6, since we are totally dependent upon God, we are not rightly related to God unless we are totally surrendered. Repeat, since we are totally dependent, underline dependent, upon God, we are not rightly related, underline related, we're not rightly related to God unless we're totally surrendered, and underline totally surrendered. Those are your 3 points of preachment in that statement. B, love for God issues in worship. Love for God issues in worship. Semicolon. Worship issues in fellowship, semicolon, love or worship, issues in fellowship, semicolon, a fellowship made possible by the life and death of Christ and his resurrection. Love, a fellowship made possible by the life and death of Christ and his resurrection. Got about 5 more points to get into Mark.
The fellowship made possible by the
life and death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, we can't muster it up by ourselves and all this already now. Can't lay credit upon how lovable I am.
Yeah.
How did it?